just in short, what we've been talking about is just the aspect of the Holy Spirit. At this point, we're just through the personhood of him, that he is part of the Trinity. And as I keep pounding into everybody's head, it's not the Trinity in a hierarchical kind of way. It's a Trinity very spherical, all connected. They all work together to have God's plan happen. So for us to distance ourselves from the Holy Spirit is really to distance ourselves from God, which is not a wise thing to do. And so that's why we're going into this deeper study. So we've talked about some of the names of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been looking at that list of names at all and seeing what else the Holy Spirit is called? Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Wisdom, Advocate, Fire, all sorts of different things. And then last two weeks, we talked about emotional and more human aspects, personality aspects of the Holy Spirit. So to jog your memories from last week, anyone have anything that struck them from last week? That he is so massive and so personal at the same time. We talked about how he has a mind and intelligence, emotions. He can be rebelled against, lied to, blasphemed, grieved. All the things that we go through, the Holy Spirit can go through as well. So today we're going to get into the purpose and ministry of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Why is he here, so to speak? So kind of the trend that I've been doing, anything that's in italics is stuff that we're going to try and read out loud. So if I can get the first couple readers set up, if I can have Zechariah 12:10, John 16:13. Then under brings life, will someone grab Psalm 104, John 6:63? Inspired writing of the Holy Spirit. Peter, you've had your hand up about seven times, so why don't you take that one? So testifying and glorify God the Father and Christ the Son. Let's take a look at Zechariah. Well, and I like this too, that it's the spirit of grace and supplication that's being poured out here so that people will see that Christ is the one who suffered. The Spirit himself is testifying about God and about Christ. And it's through the Spirit that we see and recognize and have that aha moment of this is who God is. Very similar to that is John 16:13. The visual picture of that, and I brought this up before, but just the visual picture of the Spirit there with God and Christ and just listening and goes, oh, you need to know this, and says it. And that he's not speaking on his own. There will never be discord between Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit because they're one and they're all working together. It goes back to that house divided cannot stand. So when we hear things from the Lord, it's our job to discern, is that really God that I'm hearing or not. But if it's God, it will never be out of line of his will, ever. And that should actually boost our confidence a little bit to really listen for the voice of God and say, okay, you know what? Lord, I do believe this is you. And to take a step of action. I meant to bring a rubber band today, but here's what I want us to think about. I personally have gotten tripped up more than once into, I don't know if this is the voice of God or not, so I don't know, so I'm not going to do anything. And so out of more of a spirit of fear, I react more than a spirit of faith and confidence in the Lord. And someone described it to me this way when I was in that kind of spiraling downward position of, I don't know what to do. Someone said, you know what? Take a pen and attach a rubber band to it and just pull on the rubber band. You're attached to the other end of the rubber band. But this is God. And if you get out too far, it's just going to snap you right back to God. You don't have to fear every single step that you're taking, believing that it's the voice of God. Because if it isn't the voice of God, he's going to snap you back and say, that wasn't it. So there's safety. And I'll tell you, it really broke a lot of fear in my life when I realized that I'm like, you know what? Okay, if I'm pulling and I'm pushing and I'm pushing and I'm not getting anywhere and I'm snapped back, that wasn't it. All right, recenter, Lord, what are you saying here? And I don't have to worry about being wrong and not following God. I'm testing the waters, but it's still always under his hand. Yeah, some sin boldly just out of the desire to sin. But there's a major difference of, but even in our own lives, don't you, whether it's through an act of service or something that someone says, you know their intent, even though they screwed it up royally. When I was a kid, I wrote on my mom's mirror with her lipstick, I love you, Mom. She did not feel the love. She was not happy with me at all. But my intent was very clear, and she backed off quickly because she realized that. It's that same way with the rubber band. Sometimes we're so scared to just take those steps of faith because we're just not sure if it's the voice of God or not. But you know, these verses are helping show us that if it is the Spirit of God, it's going to be in alignment with God, and we can walk boldly. We can sin boldly, so to speak, with the confidence that God has got our back and our front and our sides, and he's just going to pull us back to him if we're off course. So I just want to encourage us all to just, you know, as we are going through this and trying to discern, is this the voice of God or not? Does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with who God is and his character? I think it does. All right, God, I'm going to take a step with the confidence knowing that you've got me. And we will learn quickly if something wasn't of God, and we will learn to hear his voice more clearly after that. You know, we learn to walk by falling down. So just take heart in that. That's why I want to encourage you with these two verses of how the Spirit testified about God and also speaks on behalf of God and Christ. And with the Spirit leading us into truth, have you ever had times where you are so confident, yes, this is true, this is good, and then there's other times you are so confident, this couldn't be more off base? You know, that's the Spirit working in us and red flagging things and saying, this is not where I want you. Or yes, even though what you're seeing, hearing is freaking you out a little bit, stay. I want you to see more. I've been in some of those situations. So yeah, he does lead us into truth. He also brings us life, Psalm 104. And now our New Testament reference, John 6:63. In creation, God spoke. And what happened? Life happened. Who pulled that off? The triune God pulled it off. But I also think that there can be some points here that it could be also the working of the Holy Spirit in accordance with God's word that was causing that to happen. You know, and how often is it when we speak truth into someone's life that it also, even if they aren't happy with it at first, it can bring new life to them too. That's the role of the Spirit. And that's, again, why when it comes to confrontation with people, if we are doing it from the aspect of loving them as God loves them and saying, hey, I'm concerned about you because here's what the truth of God has to say about this area of your life. That's what brings life into people. You know, even if they reject it at first, it has the potential to bring life to them. And it's the drawing of the Holy Spirit that is going to make that happen. Now, see, now you're going all symbolic on me here. These verses that I have pulled out for this are very much ones that specifically say Spirit in it because I'm trying to prove the point of, hey, you know, this is specifically the Spirit. But I'm glad you brought that up because that's where we're going next week, is how is the Spirit symbolized throughout the Bible? Because you might be surprised at some of the symbols. I promise you there's more than just a dove. He inspires the writing of Scripture, 2 Timothy. You know, I hadn't thought about that too much. I mean, I always thought of, okay, so the Scriptures are definitely God speaking, and I don't have a problem with that. But I never really thought of the involvement of the Holy Spirit in that because, again, I was guilty of compartmentalizing and not looking at the totality of God, the Trinity, involved in that. But think about that. You know, these writers, what is there, 66 different writers? I can't remember. I should know this stuff. But you look at all of these different writers of the Bible, all very different personalities, different points in their life, different parts of the planet, different in so many ways, just different, yet are under the inspiration of God the Father, Christ the Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, inspiring what we now have as the Bible. What did they feel? You know, that's what I want to know. Did they just, were they writing letters and suddenly go, whoa? Or did they feel it coming on? Did they, just think about it for a second. Because, you know, we have the benefit of rubbing shoulders with other people who have had life experiences and have had God experiences that when we feel something strange, we can say, hey, have you ever been writing something and like you look back on it and you know that it wasn't you that wrote that? Have you ever had that happen? We have the benefit of asking each other that. Did they? I don't know. Did they dare ask? Or did they just think they were crazy and went forward with it anyway? You know, I think sometimes we need to take a step back and put ourselves into those positions because then it brings the marvel of God that much more. Of, wow, to know that you, in what you're doing in your everyday, can be so inspired by the Holy Spirit that it could last legacies to come. Things that Martin Luther even, you know, since his name was brought up, things that he said and did that were inspired by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that though it may not be Scripture, has still inspired generations to come. Which is, again, why I'm so grateful that we have the Word of God to go back to as a true reference to say, okay, is this of God? You know, and as we learned last week, the Spirit can be tested. We can test the Spirit. All right, is the Spirit pointing to Jesus and pointing to God the Father? Okay, then here we go. But if it's not, then it's a false spirit and we're to walk away. You know, that was very clearly pointed out in Scripture last week, which is, again, comforting that we can test the waters and go forward, or test the waters and get out of there. And, you know, this next thing that we have here about prophecy is a tricky one, incredibly tricky one. I would say if you ever need to be a skeptic, it's in the realm of prophecy. Just from the aspect of what Leanne brought up, there are false things out there that we so easily could believe. So let's take a look at 1 Samuel 10:10, 2 Peter 1:21. So we absolutely have biblical proof that the Spirit gives words to people to speak in a prophetic way. So we can't deny that it can happen, but we do need to beware because, you know, even in our lives, in mine and Joseph's lives, we had someone, actually just in Sudan, that spoke some words over us that we're still trying to figure out what is God and what isn't. Because even if you have someone that you know is speaking truth of God and is knowing things that no one else could possibly know and is copying things that have never left your private conversation, you know, it causes you to sit up and listen. But we also have to take it all back to the Word of God. We have to go to God Himself and say, what is you, what is chaff? And burn away the stuff that doesn't belong. Because you've got to hold on to that nugget of truth. And there are some nuggets of truth from that prophecy that have come to pass. And there are some that we're not sure if it's just garbage or if we're still waiting. You have to leave room for those things. But the reality is, God speaks through people in a prophetic way. Now, there is a lot of debate as to what prophecy means. Does prophecy mean speaking only what God says, which means it should never be anything beyond what the Bible says? Or does prophecy mean a foretelling kind of thing? Does prophecy mean that it can go beyond the, you know, like speaking into someone's personal life about personal things of their life? I'm not going to get into that debate right now. I just want to give you a heads up that that debate is out there, because as we go into the gifts of the Spirit, we're going to have that debate a little bit more. But I just want you aware that when it comes to the word prophecy, there's a couple different meanings out there of what it can be. But for our purpose today, I'm talking about prophecy as God speaking through people. What they said was a message from God. And if you look through Old Testament, there's an awful lot of prophecy going on. Some of it telling of the future, some of it speaking directly to, here's what I have to say to you in this moment today. But again, if we are focusing on what God is saying, if we are submitting ourselves to the Lord and filtering everything through Him, Lord, is what I'm hearing true? Then when we encounter a false prophet, we're going to know it and say, let's go talk to Jeremiah, you know, instead of, oh yeah, 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 yeah. So again, we've got to be very careful when it comes to prophecy. But don't cross the barrier of there is no prophecy anymore, because we have biblical proof that there is. Okay, and I've been around some that are like, nope, prophecy only happened those times, that's it, happens no more. Struggle with that a little bit. So that's where I'm just saying, let's be careful in how far we take this. But it's got to line up with the Word of God. And unfortunately, there's a lot that isn't. And I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, and then I'm going to yank us back. But when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts is words of wisdom, which that, by definition, falls into a little bit more of someone, quote unquote, reading your mail, knowing details about, you know, specific details about things that you're like, how do you know that? So that is a gift of the Spirit, is to be able to do that. That is a bit different from prophecy. A lot of times it'd be like if I came to you and I said, you know, I just feel like the Lord is telling me you need to upgrade your car to such and such, whether it's true or not. Words of wisdom, you frequently can tell right away whether they're on or not, because it's things that God has already kind of been working with you on, and that it becomes a confirmation. But that is a bit different from prophecy, and that's where I really like a lot of the definition of prophecy, of it being God telling. So very specific truth messages about the character and nature of God, even a little bit of the foretelling of here's what God is going to do in your life, here's what God is bringing into our country, or, you know. So that might be a better way of looking at biblical prophecy. But again, we're going to get into more discussion when we get to the gifts of the Spirit on that, because prophecy is also one of the gifts of the Spirit. That'll be a fun one. He instructs us and teaches us, Nehemiah 9:20. And then if someone grab Nehemiah 9:20, someone else grab John 14:26, someone grab Romans 8:26 and 27, okay? And someone else grab Exodus 35:21. All right, so Nehemiah 9:20. Does that boost your confidence? Bring some relief? That His Spirit instructs us? And that it was given to us to instruct us. It wasn't forced upon thing. It wasn't like, oh, because you keep asking and you never stop asking, then fine, I'll give the Holy Spirit to tell you what's up. No, he gave the Holy Spirit to us willingly so that we would be instructed. And went beyond that, he didn't withhold manna or water from us either. What a great God. That triune again, all working together, but giving that good Spirit to instruct us. And we can rely on that. You know, that's, and I've brought this up one other time, but one of the things I hear as a short-term missionary a lot is, well, how are you following up with all these people that you lead to the Lord? Okay, fair question, but let me turn it on you. Is it possible that God might do more than we think or imagine? Just saying. Because I have been to places where they have barely had the gospel spoken to them. We come in and preach the gospel again. There's an evangelism explosion that takes place. 600 or more people come to the Lord. And we go back and visit in 2 years to see how the national pastor's doing, and the church is up to 1,200. Well, that's funny. That pastor had never been to Bible college. There's only one or two Bibles in the whole church. Who's doing the teaching here? Our instructor and our guide, the Holy Spirit, does an awful lot of teaching beyond what any pastor, teacher can do, if we allow him to. So he instructs us. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. I love that last part, that not only will he teach me stuff, but he'll cause me to remember it when I need it. You know, I remember one time talking to a lady who was just going through, you talk about dry spell, she was really going through it. And I asked her, I said, well, how's your time in the Word? And she goes, you might as well just take a fire to it. I said, like, in a good way or a bad way? She goes, I'm getting nothing out of Scripture right now. Nothing. But I've decided that I'm going to continue reading because at some point I'm going to need what I read. So I'm calling it spiritual canning for right now. Wow. I'm not getting anything out of Scripture right now, but you know what? I know that it's going to come into use later. So I'm going to can it and I'm going to put it on a shelf and the Holy Spirit will tell me when to go pull that one. Go pull that one. Isn't that cool? I was so convicted by that lady. So convicted. But wow, you know, and so take encouragement when you're in those times of reading the Word and you're like, well, that was a big nothing. But, it, you know, keep in mind, too, it's hard when you are in a dry spell and you are not getting anything from Scripture. It is hard work to change your mindset to, you know what, I'm still going to maintain this discipline. Yeah, even with signs and wonders, even with the pillar of fire in front of us, even with God speaking to us in intimate ways, we still forget and we move forward. And then the Holy Spirit comes in, and think about how many times in the Old Testament prophets did a review of history to remind them of everything that God had done. Because they forget. Well, guess what? He does the same thing with us. Do you remember when you were on the road and your tire wasn't working and I sent someone to help you? Do you remember when you heard a knock on the door and it was your house on fire? You know, all of those different things where God begins to remind us again. Hey, 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 you know, thankfully he's much more patient with us than I would be. And he intercedes for us. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:26-27. Just think about that. Priscilla, would you read it one more time? How many times in Scripture do you see pray in the Spirit? Pray in the Spirit. This is why. Because it says very clearly, we don't know how to pray as we should. Now, does it say there are times when we don't know how to pray as we should? Occasionally we don't know how to pray as we should? Because I would bet most of us think we know how to pray, and yet this says we don't. So why pray? Practice, practice, practice. Prayer is for us to know him. Good way to go bring commands into this. We're into this all warm fuzzy, and he's like, oh, by the way, and the Bible says we're supposed to. Excellent reason. No, seriously, that is a great reason. But it's true that you know, a lot of the point of prayer is to help change us, help change our attitudes, help change our perspective, because it's needed. Let's take a look at the role of the Holy Spirit in intercession here. She's going through a hellish time, right? What do you think her prayers to God have been like? I know how mine would have been. I think probably a lot more fist shaking than, oh God, what is your eternal plan in all of this? You know, yet the Holy Spirit is there interceding and saying, wait, God, here's the heart, as if he doesn't know. But again, it's the triune God, and he's interceding, taking that mediary role. Hears what is being said and goes back and speaks it to her. Because an intercessor isn't just one direction. An advocate, an intercessor, is both directions. Hearing what God the Father and Christ the Son are saying, speaking it back to us. Hearing what we're saying, hearing the heart that's within, and all of it begins to align with God's perfect will. Wow. Great question that we do not have time to go into today, but I will say this. I'm not saying it's right, but I heard it said once, and I think there's a lot of truth in it, that the main prayer, not the only prayer, but a main prayer that the Lord will hear from those who don't know him is, Lord, have mercy. He still hears everything, I believe. But that's a great question that I cannot answer today. Maybe not even next week. That's a topic in and of itself. But there's certainly biblical proof to show that one of the major roles of the Spirit is to convict of sin for everybody, believer and non-believer alike. But just real briefly, Pentecostal perspective is that praying in the Spirit would be praying in tongues. And so then that is where, as you're praying in tongues, then the Spirit is interceding through you. That's the Pentecostal perspective. Now, there's a dispensationalist perspective that says there ain't any speaking in tongues anymore. So I don't quite know yet. That's one of the things I'm studying. I don't quite know yet how they would do this verse. So we'll get to that in a number of weeks. Well, thanks, you guys. Hang on to these because obviously we didn't get through all of it today. So we'll head into that. We'll finish it up next week and then keep going.